darkness at thy speaking, it was done. For created light we thank thee, while thine ordered seasons run. Alleluia, alleluia.
Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 11th chapter. When they drew near to Jerusalem, to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the village in front of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find a colt tied on which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' say, 'The Lord has need of it and will send it back here immediately.' And they went away and found a colt tied at a door outside in the street, and they untied it. And some of those standing there said to him, 'What are you doing untying the colt?' And they told him what Jesus had said, and they let them go. And they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. And many spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut from the fields. And those who went before and those who followed were shouting, 'Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest.'" This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Over the last several weeks, we have been hearing scripture passages that point us forward to the second coming of Christ, when Christ will come again at the end of the age. These texts that we have pondered over the last several weeks have called us to be ready. They have called us to be alert. They've called us to be awake. These texts, they create in us, and they have created in us, this anticipation, this readiness, this sense of looking forward to the second coming of Christ at the end of the age. Today, though, we begin a new church year as we celebrate the first Sunday in Advent. Now keep in mind that the word Advent means coming. Thus, with this first Sunday in Advent, we are shifting gears a little bit from this anticipating and looking forward to the theme of Jesus actually coming, yes, him coming to us. And thinking about this theme of coming, we must also make note that the coming of the Lord is a very prevalent theme in all of the scriptures. For example, ever since Adam and Eve fell into sin in the Garden of Eden, the Lord promised them and to the world that salvation would come to mankind through one who would crush, yes, crush, the head of the evil one. Therefore, the people of the Old Testament, they lived in anticipation as they awaited the coming of the Messiah. With that said, how did the Messiah come? How did he come to the people of the Old Testament? Well, he came to them in a manger in the small town of Bethlehem some 2,000 years ago. Like the people of the Old Testament, today we remember in our Advent services the same coming of Christ, Jesus, in the manger. For this coming was not only a coming of the Messiah for the people of the Old Testament, but it was a coming of the Messiah for the whole entire world, which includes you and me. Furthermore, during this Advent season, we not only recall that Jesus came 2,000 years ago, but we remember and confess that he will come to us at the end of the age to resurrect us. Therefore, we live in between these two bookends, if you will, his first coming in a manger and his second coming in glory to judge the living and the dead. All of this said, there's another aspect that we are forgetting, and that is the Lord continually comes to us in the here and now through his word and his sacraments. That's right, we have a Lord that came to us and presently comes to us and, yes, will come again to us in the future. Indeed, we have an active Lord, a Lord that invades history, time, and space. understanding that we have a Lord that comes to us, it now makes sense why the gospel reading that we read for this morning is on Jesus riding on a donkey towards Jerusalem. You see, as Christ rode on the donkey, he was riding and coming towards us. Permit me to explain a bit more. 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ approached your sin in his birth, and he approached your sin on the donkey as he rode into Jerusalem towards Calvary's cross. Yes, at the cross, there was a holy collision as Jesus came towards our sin, sin that resulted in his death, a death that should have been for you and for me. Indeed, Jesus came towards our cross and encountered our sin, bore it upon himself, was forsaken by the Father, endured hell, and then said the famous words, "It is finished." Truly, we have a coming Messiah. He came to us in the manger, came to us on a donkey to a cross, will come again to us in the second coming, and comes to us here in this church through his word and his sacraments, because he is for you and is for me. Simply stated, the arrow, yes, the arrow is from the Lord to you, from the Lord to me. Tragically, though, the temptation for you and for me is that we can lose sight of this coming Lord. We can invert the arrow, believing the myth that the arrow goes from us to the Lord. Otherwise stated, we can begin to believe the error that we must come to him. As a result, we begin to believe that we have to construct a metaphoric ladder, yes, these metaphoric ladders between us and the Lord, so that we can industriously ascend up each step of the ladder closer and closer and closer to the Lord. I like to call this ladder theology. Whether we disbelieve the good news that the Lord comes to us, or if we stubbornly want to be involved in drawing near to the Lord by our own efforts, the result is the same. We invert everything. Yes, instead of seeing the Lord as one coming to us, we begin to convince ourselves that we must ascend to the Lord in order to draw closer to him so that we can be whole. One of the ways that we do this climbing of our metaphoric ladder to God, is through developing and increasing and trying to perfect our morals and our standards. We believe that if we become more moral, it will allow us to ascend a little higher. We tell ourselves, every good deed draws me that much closer to the good Lord. Another way we attempt to climb to the Lord is that we chase meaningless spiritual experiences. We tell ourselves that if we can just woo our emotions or conjure up a spiritualized feeling to make our hearts tingle with mystical feelings, that we are somehow closer to the Lord. We tell ourselves, if I can experience and feel God, then I must be close to him. The more that I feel spiritized feelings, the higher I must be on this ladder. Finally, but not least, we can attempt to draw close to the Lord through the pursuit of reflective rationale and being thoughtful of our philosophical logic. We tell ourselves that the key to drawing closer to the Lord is through intellectualizing God and logically figuring him out. We tell ourselves this: the more that God can be, yes, reasoned in our mind, the closer we must be to him. Tragically, my friends, all three of these conventional approaches to spirituality involve human beings expending strenuous effort to reach higher to God, who is by implication an impassive observer far above the fray, a goal that must be attained, a treasure that must be sought, discovered, and earned. Alas, we would say, this way of thinking is damning. Yes, it is indeed damning and futile at best. Bluntly put, if it is up to you and I to storm the gates of heaven, and if it is up to us to come to the Lord, how will we know if we have adequately acquired enough morality? How will we know if our mystical experience is genuine enough? How will we know if our reason is enlightened enough? In looking at this latter spirituality, this idea that you and I must climb to God in order to come to Him, you and I will never, I repeat, never have enough assurance. If it depends on our climbing, how high do we have to climb? And what happens when we slip? For we surely will. Dear friends, baptized saints of Zion Lutheran Church, if you are attempting to climb to the Lord, if you are attempting to come to the Lord through your own moral or mystical and or intellectual schemes, please listen. Repent. There is no ladder. Repent. You cannot climb. Repent. The arrow is not from you to the Lord, but from the Lord to you. Repent, for you cannot by your own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ or come to Him. Now you may be saying to yourself, well, that makes sense, Pastor. We do not climb to God, but He comes to us. However, how is that a good thing? For I know deep down inside of me that I am full of sin. I also sin in my thought, words, and deeds. So how is this good that the Lord comes to us and invades my world of sin and my failures? In fact, the more I think about the Lord coming to me, the less I want to climb and the more I just want to run and hide. Yes, I want to run and hide like Adam and Eve did when the Lord came to them after they sinned. It is terrible to be in the hands of an angry God. Baptized saints, take a moment and consider our gospel reading for today. The Lord came to Jerusalem. He came humble and on a donkey. He also wept over a rebellious Jerusalem. Furthermore, consider this Advent season that we are now in. This Advent season, our first Sunday of Advent. He came to us in a manger as a babe. Yes, Jesus, He came to you and He came to me in a manger and on a donkey. He came to the cross to meet our sin in humility and compassion. Yes, His first coming some 2,000 years ago was not in judgment, but a coming of grace and a coming of mercy, a coming to replace the terror of sin with the joy of righteousness. Truly the Messiah was born and He came to die. He came to die for you. He came to suffer for you. He put on human flesh so that He could take your place on the cross. He came to accomplish forgiveness, yes, for you. What this means is that the coming of our Lord is not bad news, but it is good news. It is a coming of redemption. It is a coming of forgiveness of sins. Therefore, the coming of the Lord means that we don't have to be terrified, that there is no ascending, that there is no need to construct ladders, and that there is absolutely no need to meet the Lord halfway. He came fully for you. The mission was accomplished, and He is coming back again to take you home. Not only did He come some 2,000 years ago in a manger and upon a donkey, and not only will He come at the end of the age, as previously mentioned, He also comes to you right here and right now. He comes to you in His word. He comes to you in the waters of your baptism. And He comes to you in His flesh and blood as you eat that very flesh, that sacrifice that He sacrificed for you on the cross, and the very blood that was shed for you on the cross for the forgiveness of your sins. The Lord came, He comes, and He will come for you. This Advent season we remember and we hear and we confess that we have a Lord that comes to us. He's not an impassive observer far above the fray or a goal that we must attain. He is alive and He is active, one who enters into the present realm to accomplish salvation and deliver us His gifts. Furthermore, my friends, we do not limit His coming to Christmas only, but we believe and we teach and we confess that he comes to us continually in his word and sacraments, in his church, in this church, until he finally comes again to resurrect us, resurrect you unto himself. The Lord comes. Indeed, he comes for you. And this is very good news. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, the coming Lord.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.